Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible study from a very, very, very pure Bible, Revelation chapter 6. We're going to have some fun today. We talked last week in last week's study about the opening of the sixth seal. We're going to kind of look at some things related to, let's say, the number six. Some of you probably already know where we're going to go with that. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 6 and some other places in the Bible. One of the things that I always want to do, whether it's a Bible study, Watchman broadcast, teaching, preaching out in our church or wherever, is to not only show people what's in the Bible, but show people how to find what's in the Bible. It's all right there. And Scripture will always connect to Scripture. We will always compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. None shall want her mate. And so one of the things that I want to do in the abundance of the messages that we have and so on is just teach people by giving examples over and over again how they can find what's in the Bible. It's not equidistant letter sequences. It's not, well, if you count every fourth letter, you'll get this word that spells Grubnuf. I don't know what that means, okay? There's not another layer under this. It's all right there. It's written as the Bible says, number one in the Old Testament, write it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. And then Paul, speaking of Moses, he said, we're not like Moses. We use plainness of speech. And so it's that plainness of speech right here in this English Bible that I think some of the most fascinating details of biblical understanding for our personal lives, teachings for our marriage or our children or whatever, or Bible prophecy, those things lie inside of just the plain text of the Scriptures. So anyway, Revelation chapter 6. The sixth seal is open, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. We talked about that. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. We talked about that. Then verse 13. And this was in all the other packages, that the sun being darkened, moon either being darkened or turned to blood, and the earthquake. This same event was associated with all of these other things as well. In verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. See, even that mighty wind is there in Acts chapter 2, which Acts chapter 2 is in direct relation to Joel chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You have the rushing mighty wind. Exact same words. Okay? Exact same words. And associated with that, signs. The sun be darkened, the moon to turn to blood. And the stars and so forth. And so anyway, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs. And I want you to pay attention to the word fell. Stars of heaven fell. In verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said unto the mountains and rocks, fall unto us, or fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. In verse 17, I want you to notice this, because we concentrated verse 13, the stars of the heaven fell. Now listen to verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So here I want you to notice this here. We have stars that fall, and the question is, now that this day is come, who shall be able to stand? For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians, a place that we go to a lot in this ministry, because this ministry really concentrates on several things. We're not the know-all, see-all of Bible prophecy or everything related to the Bible. But there is a direction that God has consistently taken this ministry in, and I feel like it's important, especially for you and I living in the days that we're living in right now. We know, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, that he's talking about the day. He said, let me start with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and by our gathering together unto him. Study in the Bible things that are gathered. And use that word gather, gatherings, gathered, gather, things like that. and just study how things are gathered together. By our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I had sort of floated the idea last week that the revelation of Christ in the air and the clouds, his appearing, and then the revelation of the man of sin, I think they're like right there. We have biblical examples of, on the day Christ was crucified, we had Jesus and we had Barabbas, who was taken out of prison. There's that illustration there. He was taken out of prison, and he's a murderer, and he's a thief, and he's a liar, and he's, you know, everything that the devil is. And here we have them both presented at the same time to Israel. And Pilate's saying, pick one. It's like the universal decision that God gives all mankind is to, here's two trees, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Pick one. They're both presented to the world. Okay? And I just kind of, following the examples given to us in Scripture and the idea of choice, I think God is going to offer to the world, here you go, here's the Jesus that came down from heaven, here's the other Jesus that came up from prison. Pick one, okay? Most everybody's going to pick the one who came out of prison. That's who they're going to choose. But I want you to notice that there is a falling away first, okay? A falling away. And so here we have study things that are gathered, study things that fall, like trees falling or idols falling or stars falling or people falling on their back. I have one in my mind that I will probably, you know, sometime put together a video called falling down or something like that, and just study things that are falling. There's one illustration in the Old Testament that basically shows you this entire doctrine right here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to see if you can find it. Okay, if you think you found it. I mean, the whole thing. Okay, something taken out of the way, something falling backward, and the revelation of the man of sin. Okay, it's all like in one little story. It's the neatest thing. I was eating dinner one night, and I went, oh, wow, that's amazing. I want to see if you can find it. You might have to eat dinner while you're doing it. Notice that if we go back to Revelations, as some people say, chapter 6, here we have, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. I have seen everything from some scholars saying a giant meteor shower is going to fall on planet Earth. Okay, it could be. Okay, it could be. We know that the Earth right now is vulnerable to meteors and things like that. Little asteroids floating through space, headed hurtling toward planet Earth. The movies Armageddon and Deep Impact kind of come to mind. And people have talked about Elenin, the comet that was, I mean, it was going to tear the whole world apart. Everybody's talking about that. Didn't happen, not event. Study the Scriptures, okay? Stars. Let's get our bearings, okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12, and let's let a spiritual thing compare to a spiritual thing. So Revelation chapter 12, there appeared a great wonder. There's the wonders that Paul and Joel were talking about in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, and I want you to notice she had the moon under her feet. Now, the Watchman broadcast for next week is going to deal with the symbolism of the moon and some things NASA are doing that's pretty interesting. The moon, I want you to notice it's under her feet. When you have something under your feet in the Bible, just go study this. Okay, go study this. God told Joshua, every place that the soles of your feet touch, that will I give to you. Okay, so when he puts his foot on something, he owns it. God said, I'm giving you that right there. Now, would you put your foot over here? I'm giving you that over here. In Revelation 10, we have the mighty angel coming down from heaven. He puts his foot on the sea and on the earth. It's his. Okay, he owns it now. It's dominion. By the way, the number for dominion is the number 10. We have 10 toes, 10 kings, and so on. when may the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Us finally having dominion over Satan, who has the power of death. Okay, we are going to be given dominion over that right now. Let's see, other thing. Joshua, go stand on the necks of these five kings, five being a symbol for the number of death in this story. This is Joshua chapter 10. And Joshua said, "Be not afraid, for thus shall the Lord do you all your enemies against whom you fight." I need to move on because I'll just have so much fun just chasing scripture down. But anyway, in verse 2, she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. We just did a video called The Birth of the Man-Child. That is on our website. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's like 3.5 years. Verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. So we have the angels, the stars, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So here's the angels, here's the stars falling from heaven. Now let's go to Revelation 9. And here's another place we're drawn to quite a bit in Scripture. And the fifth angel sounded. I want you to notice the number 5. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given. To notice that the star is a him. Okay? Now, if you are of the amillennial or preterist crowd or just people that just don't believe the Bible, well, you know, this is anthropomorphism, I think is what they call it. Anthro meaning man or mankind. Anthropomorphism, morphem means to change or transfer. It's like calling this book a she, okay? It's not really a she. We just call it that. That's an anthropomorphism where we're transforming this into something else, into like the image of a man. And so some scholars would say it's merely an anthropomorphism, a metaphorical language, and really what they mean is it doesn't really mean anything. Okay? It doesn't. I disagree. I think the words, I think the very words that are in this book are not man's words, and they're not poetic license. They're not slight exaggerations. They're not, anything. They mean what they say. They mean what they say. So a star to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Okay? So he doesn't have the key right now, but he will be given the key. I have a note here. Where is that? I've been working on my Watchman broadcast all day, and I've got something in my mind that I'm preparing for the next Watchman that's associated with this. Jesus said, "I have the keys of hell and death." We studied that. Okay, the papal insignia is two keys that are crossed. Okay, I have the keys of hell and death. Okay, and so here he was given the key of the bottomless pit. Here he has a key here. And it's the key to hell. It was given to him. He didn't steal it. He didn't buy it. He doesn't own it outright. It was given to him. Jesus said, I've got a key here. And so he gives it to Satan. And he falls. And I say this as Lucifer because we're going to read a passage where this, I think, is exactly what's being spoken of by Isaiah. So he's being given the key and he falls to the earth. And he takes the key and he opens the bottomless pit. Okay, what's in the bottomless pit? We have a king, verse 11, whose name is Abaddon and Apollyon. He's the king of the bottomless pit. We have the locusts and the scorpions and all these things associated with this number 5 and this fifth trumpet. We've studied that many times. But anyway, the stars that fall. those of you who have studied, let's see here, studied the New Age movement, okay? The New Age says at some point the aliens are going to come down. They're going to come down from the celestial sphere, and they're going to bring us into a New Age of peace and enlightenment. They're going to transform us. They're going to add to our DNA. They are going to turn us all into gods, and we'll all like each other then, and there'll be no more wars anymore, and it'll just be la-la land, okay? And that's what the New Age movement is all about. It's all about the alien agenda. The alien agenda. If you study UFOs, which you know you have, you just don't tell everybody, okay? You study UFOs, and you understand that there's an agenda, okay? Even if you don't study UFOs, if you've watched like every alien movie made, you understand that they have an agenda. They will come down upon us one of these days and reign over us. And, you know, depending on which movie you're watching, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're good. But anyway, that's the deal there. The stars, what you see here in Revelation chapter 6 and the opening of the sixth seal, is that you see stars falling from heaven. That is what's going to happen. That's mentioned in Revelation 12. Let's go to the meaning of the number 6. Genesis chapter 6. We have angels referred to here and in the book of Job three different times. In the book of Job are the sons of God referred to as angelic beings or the host of heaven. Okay? The morning stars is what Job called them in one place. The sons of God, he then in the same verse calls them the morning stars. Okay? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Okay? So anyway, we have in Genesis chapter 6 the meaning of the number 6. It came to pass the sixth seal. Okay? Anytime you see a number, okay, equate it or link it together with those like numbers in the scriptures. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And then it says in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, he's talking about in those days before the flood, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. That's who, that the Bible's telling you, that's who the giants were. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And I reiterate this again, because it just makes all the sense in the world. Not only just taking the Bible at face value, but when you look at every civilization in the planet, okay, has always had this exact same story. They've mixed it up a little bit. It's gotten corrupted in various ways. That's because their ways are corruptible, but God's word is incorruptible. But they all tell the same story, that the gods came down. The Mayans, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Toltecs, the American, the Cherokee, okay? Who else? All of these native tribes in North and South America, they all said, yeah, the gods came down and found our women, ate with them. They had these big, you know, white guys with beards. And, you know, they all tell the same story. Okay? So that's what it means. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Okay? The Bible's telling you, everybody knows it. Okay? It's just that the Bible scholars can't handle that. Okay, so they don't allow it. But then you take this same concept. He mentions giants. Okay, now I don't use. Okay, and I'm not whipping you for doing it. I personally don't use this word Nephilim. Okay, I like to stick with the King James language in describing these. The Bible calls them giants, and that's what I call them because of the similar. Remember, let's study. If we're going to study gatherings, we're going to study things that fall. Study giants. That way, now you don't have to get out your Hebrew Old Testament and pretend like you can read it. Okay, just study giants. The word giants in the Bible, men that were of great stature. So you have Goliath. Okay, Goliath, and God has given you clues here concerning Goliath. Here is Goliath. He's 6 cubits tall. We know that his brothers all had 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. Okay, spearhead weighing 600 shekels and all this. So he's got sixes all over him. Okay? That's the Bible's way of telling you where he came from. Okay? What happened? How did he get here? And if you don't believe that the sons of God were angels, you say, well, that was just, the sons of God, that was Seth. Okay? And they just get it out of thin air, because the Bible never says that. Then you are left with an unanswered question, and that is, how did these giants get here? Okay? How did they get here? If you follow the course of the scriptures, it will reveal to you that this is how the giants got there. And so with the whole alien, and these giants are hybrids. So what you have is, along with the alien agenda, you have the aliens coming down, and you hear all these wild stories about them, impregnating women, and these women seeing these little alien babies that are half human, half alien, and things like that. It's not as far-fetched as people would have you believe, or as some people believe. It is scriptural. Daniel chapter 2, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Okay? They're going to hybridize themselves. That's why every half of every product out there is some sort of hybrid or fusion with an X on it. Okay? I mean, you're starting to notice this. You're going, there's hybrid this, there's fusion that, there's X that. I wonder, and you're just starting to, it's starting to click with everybody. I think there's something going on here. And so this all has to do with the opening of the sixth seal. Jude talks about these angels. Let's go to the book of Jude, the sons of God. And he refers to them. I have a note here, and I didn't write down what verse. So we will just seek and we shall find. In verse 6. Jude, I'm not kidding you. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Their own habitation was the fourth dimension, the spirit realm. Okay? But left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. These angels, they left their estate, their establishment. They left where they were supposed to be. They were the angels of heaven that Jesus said, marry not. Okay? And this is what another thing that throws people. Jesus said that they don't marry. The angels of heaven don't marry. Well, these ones left their estate. And they did what they were not supposed to do. They took them wives, of which they chose. Okay? And now, to explain the whole process of how these spirits and the human women, people have asked me that question, I don't know. I know that when you study angels in the Bible, you will see that there are some angels who clearly have an identifiable, tangible form. Okay? I'm thinking of the angels that went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Number one, the guys in Sodom. Okay? Before that, we know that Abraham washed their feet. It wasn't just an apparition. He wasn't just seeing a vision. He washed their feet. He fed them and they ate it. You know, that's what the scriptures say. And so I don't have an explanation beyond that. I'm just saying this is the things that the Bible is telling us. Even in Daniel chapter 8, you have a reference of, and it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So we see, this idea that angels are falling and are going to fall down to the earth. They're coming down. And then you have in, Revelation 9, you have them coming up from the depths of the earth. Just like in the days of Noah. The rain is coming down from the heaven, it's falling down, and then it's rising up from the depths of the earth. And so the two go hand in hand there. Where else can we go? Let's go to I don't have my notes here in front of me. All the places, like Isaiah 13, I believe it was, and other places where the sun's darkened, the moon's turned to blood, or the moon's darkened, and you see the constellations falling, you see the stars falling. Go back and study those for a little bit more wisdom concerning this event. We can only see this event right now through biblical eyes, and we see through a glass darkly. But one of these days, we're going to see it happening, and we're going to say, this is that which was spoken by the prophets. Let's look very quickly at some things that are fallen in the Bible. So we're going to study gathering things, we're going to study giant things, and we're going to study things that are fallen. In Revelation chapter 17, this is how God is describing the beast that was and is not. And I'm going to be dealing with that in a Watchman broadcast. The beast that was and is not, and yet shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Notice in Revelation chapter 17, in verse 7, the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery. I love it when the Bible uses the word mystery, because it always says, oh, we'll tell you. Yeah, we'll tell you the mystery. It's not no big secret. Okay, we'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. That means he used to be, okay? He is not right now, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. In verse 10, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen. Okay, seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So we have seven kings there, and five of them are fallen. I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Look at things that are falling. Okay? They fell once. There's going to be a falling again. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Where do I get that from? I'm looking right here in the Bible. Okay? We have the ark of God taken. It's taken out of the way. Hint, hint. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Who's Dagon? Okay? Dagon. He's like half sea creature, half human. He is a hybrid. That's who he is. Okay? And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth. You remember when David hit Goliath? When that stone sunk into his forehead where the mark of the beast goes? What happened to Goliath? Okay, he fell on his face to the earth, right in front of David. Okay, he fell toward David. David is a picture of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Okay, he was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they rose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. You know, I like this, okay? Because you think about this. In Daniel chapter 2, it talks about they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Iron and clay mingled together in the toes, okay? But I love this. Listen to this now. Some of you guys can relate to this. If you've got mud on your truck, okay, you've got this big stainless steel Ford F-150 truck. Sorry, you Chevy or Dodge guys. I'm not either one. But anyway, you got this big monster truck, this stainless steel iron, okay, and you go out one weekend mudding with it. And y'all know what that is, okay? You go mudding with it. And you come back and there's mud and clay and gunk stuck all to the fender and the wheel well and all over the, some on the, you gotta get some, you gotta at least get some upon the windshield. Okay, just to let everybody know exactly how much fun you had. Okay? And they're, it looks like they're all like one big giant thing. If you took a sprayer and sprayed a coat of paint over that, okay, boy, it'd give that truck some real character. Until something happens, how do you get, is that mud going to cleave to that truck, that iron truck? Nope. Not when the water comes on. You get what I'm saying? Okay, the days of Noah, that's what happens. The clay will not mingle, will not mix with the iron as soon as the water turns on. They'll separate, Okay? And so here, because iron doesn't mix with clay, okay, they won't hold together. So here, and Dagon was like the bottom part was the fish god part, the sea serpent, Leviathan. Okay, you understand who that is. That was the spiritual part of him. And then we had the human part of him, okay, which was the upper part. And that, if you look at this, the head and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. That's the human part, the clay mixed with the iron, and they won't hold together. And so when he's fallen again, it all comes to pieces. Okay? That's what I get out of that. I like the Bible, the way it talks. But it's talking of something that is falling here, a god, or the gods themselves, the power of the gods falling. Where else can we go? And by the way, there were five Philistine lords when this happened. Okay? Five of them. Five are fallen. Okay? Let's see here. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Okay? Here's another little clue here. So you're going to study gathering, falling things. You're going to study giants. You're going to study the number five. You're going to stay real busy. But it's fun. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? In Revelation chapter 9, the fifth trumpet sounds, and I saw a star fall from heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning stars, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So he is going to be cast down. He's going to fall down. In direct contrast, and this is reason 4,978 that I don't like the... Let me pull it out here so you can see it. I don't like the NIV Bible, which is right here, because it calls Lucifer the morning star. Well, that's Jesus. Jesus is not the one who fell. He never fell. Okay? He came down willingly. He descended. So study that. Let's go to the book of Psalms, the way we used to call it when I was a kid. Psalms. Psalm chapter 20. And, you know, again, we looked at the, I think this 6th seal opening, giving us clues as to what surrounds what we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 concerning the falling away that is coming, that falling away taking place, and then the man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition. So study these things in the Bible that have fallen, or Babylon has fallen, the walls of Jericho fallen, great hailstones falling from the sky, anything that falls from the heavens, falls from the sky. Study those things. Psalm chapter 20, verse 8. Let's go back to verse 7. The Bible says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Remember that chariot, if you've seen the movie UFOs, Chariots of the Beast, chariots in the Bible are indicative or pictures of angels, okay? The Lord has chariots, even thousands of angels or something like that. That is what the verse says. So some trust in chariots. There are people who are trusting, who are putting their trust in other gods. There are people who are, the zodiac is the chariots of those angelic beings. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen to this. They are brought down and fallen. Like this. But we are risen and stand upright. And so think about it. Think about in the plain of Dura, you have the rising up of an idol, okay? A false god, an angel. You have the rising up of the beast, and you have, here it is, at the same time, the music's playing, and you have some that are falling, and you have some that are, I'm sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when they see everybody fall, I'm sure they just didn't go, well, that's pretty weird. I'm sure that they went, they wanted it known that they were not going down with the rest of them. They were standing. They were standing very tall. Look at that. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. That's why, listen to this now, that's why that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Okay? So the falling away takes place. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. And this is the commandment of the New Testament, to give us power to stand when everybody else has fallen. Psalm 36. Psalm 36. And I have it in my mind right here. I just read this verse. Those who trust in the law and put their trust in the law, Paul says you are fallen from grace. And think about it. The law is always represented by ten commandments. How many toes? How many horns? Okay, does the beast have? How many toes does that image have? Ten. It's the power of the law, the curse of the law that's over mankind. You want to put your trust in the law? You say, well, I keep the commandments. I obey everything. No, you don't. You're just lying to yourself like everybody else does. If you want to trust in the law, be my guest. You won't know anything about grace. You're fallen from grace. Psalm 36:12. There are the workers of iniquity, fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. This is reason 481 of why I think that once the Bible believers are translated into heaven, if Tim LaHaye were here, I would say, Timmy, you know, I know you understand you made a lot of money off that book. But I'll tell you, I'm just this whole scenario about everybody being raptured and all these people left behind and how they become Christians. I just have a little bit of a problem with that. The workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down and shall not be able to rise. We know that these angels that are cast down from heaven, okay, poor things, they just keep going, because once they're cast down from heaven to the earth, then they're taken from the earth and they're thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? Boy, it stinks to be a bad angel nowadays, all right? Let's go one more place here. I have it backwards for some reason. Psalm 21:9. I hope you've had fun today. I've had fun. This is the most fun I've had all day. Psalm 21:9. Did I write it right? No, apparently I didn't. I wrote a 21:9 here, and I don't know if it was Psalms or something else. Who knows? Let me look in Isaiah very quickly. Let me look in Isaiah. I did it in haste. Ah, here we go. Here we go. It is. I was right. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 21:9. Behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods. Listen, remember Dagon. I'm telling you, there's always a story, an illustration to illustrate the doctrine or the prophecy. Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Okay? Now these angels are falling, they're breaking, and the power of Satan now has been cast down. Number one, since Satan now is cast out of the presence of God, it's like Jesus sitting there before the woman caught in adultery, who says to her, "Where are these thine accusers?" Okay? And Satan's the accuser of the brethren. And at some point then, he's going to be cast down and he can't accuse anymore. I like that. I like that an awful lot. And so just to wrap this up here and contrast these, I think this angel falling and these gods falling. And remember in the book of Acts, I just remember this. The image or the idol of Jupiter that fell from heaven, that was spoken of in the book of Acts. I think I remembered that right. Their God fell from heaven. That's what he did. Okay, and that's so they worship the God. They worship the fallen God is what they're worshiping. So back to Revelations chapter 6, the sixth seal. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Big question there. And that's the question I leave you with today. Who will indeed be able to stand? It's not those who are full of iniquity. It's not those who are so full of guile and they've rejected the Word of God and they have no faith. They love not the truth that they might be saved, is what God said in 2 Thessalonians 2. That's what facilitates the falling away. They just stop believing the Bible. They just stop believing the Bible. It tears me apart sometimes. It really, really breaks my heart to know that at one time I did not believe. I stood up and looked spiritual in church. Oh, thank God for the Bible. But I was taught you can't believe all of it. That's the same as not believing any of it as far as God's concerned. And I'm just really, really dismayed when I see so many pastors, so many churches. I don't believe this anymore. I don't believe all of it. You don't have to believe all of it. Roman Catholic Church, a news thing that came across this week. The Bible is not infallible. Okay, the Bible's not infallible. No, you can't believe everything the Bible says. And yet, that priest that used to sit in confessionals and talk dirty to little kids, now he's sitting in the Vatican as St. Peter. And he's supposed to be right all the time? I don't think so. There will be a falling away. And by the way, the Bishop of Rome, okay, the Pope, he just happens to look a lot like Dagon. Okay, there is coming a falling away, folks, and I don't want anything to do with it. When they fall, think of the days of Noah. When the rain falls, I want to rise, and I want you to be there with me. I love you. This is Pastor Mike. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.